Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota of Brookhaven has been voted best new car dealership in Southwest Mississippi 4 years in a row. Come see the difference. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, welcome in, everybody, on this Tuesday night to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you are with me. Baseball survives, and that's the word to use, survives. Arkansas State in the midweek. They pitched it really well right up until the point where they didn't. And Judd Uetermark is the hero, hitting a walk-off home run to make sure that there is no RPI bomb, I guess, is what that would have ended up being. Anyway, so baseball survives. And I've been thinking a lot about the post-game reaction to Saturday's loss to Mississippi State in basketball and whether or not this team's going to bounce back and will they overcome the home loss that they just suffered to Mississippi State. So I want to hear a lot from you tonight as well, because I am still, guys, struggling. I'm just tired. I don't know. I feel like I completed 12 rounds with Tyson. And I mean, by the end of the day, still, I don't know what this virus thing that's going around. I know that it's caused a lot of people to be out of commission, and I am one of those, but I am still lightheaded and airy, and it's just not this kicked my you know what, and I'm still not totally over it just yet. So I want you guys to carry the show tonight. How about that? On this edition of the podcast. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Don't forget to subscribe if you have not already, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. And also, you know, like and leave a comment and all that stuff on the video here as well. And this edition of the podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. If you are anywhere in Mississippi, he's in Fulton, but he can take care of you anywhere. If you're a small business owner or you want to start a small business and you don't really know what to do, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, 662-397-9799 is his phone number, 662-397-9799. Don't delay, call DJ today. Also, for personal injury, if you've been personally injured, don't waste another second. Wake up and call the Gregory Law Firm and DJ Gregory. He will take care of you. 662-397-9799. Baseball survives. They win 4-2. And, you know, really making sweeping judgments about a midweek game is one midweek game is always a fool's errand, both super positive and super negative. There's always weird stuff that happens in the midweek in baseball. And it's not just exclusive to Ole Miss. Maybe they come back and win. I did see that Georgia was losing to Kennesaw State earlier. I mean, every year you have a lot of great teams that lose weird midweek games. And so the goal really is to just win them and move on to avoid a possible RPI bomb. But it does happen. So thinking that this team's a disaster for the way they played today, or if they would have won 15-0, thinking they're just world beaters, you know, context is needed. However, I do think, you know, the old two things can be true at once. They got the win, which is the most important thing. Uetermark stepping up when he did is noteworthy for sure, because he showed you a quality at bat in the clutch and jumped on a hanging curveball and sent it out to center and almost won the game. So that's a good thing. There is a couple of downsides that are starting to show early in the season. One of which is that they don't – it's only four games. This can certainly change quickly. They have not yet to this point put enough quality at-bats together. And today was another example of that. I'm concerned about their lineup and its ability to consistently hit or at least be consistently competitive at the plate, because today was a rather uncompetitive day. I know it's Arkansas State. They don't see pitching this bad very often, but it was kind of an uncompetitive day at the plate for Ole Miss. And three of four games, they have largely been ineffective to lacking in quality in their approach at the plate. And so that's an area of concern. And the other is closer. That is now two appearances that have gone poorly for Spencer. And I know, I mean, obviously they really like him if they keep putting him in that role, but giving up those two runs, it's a, sorry about that. Little man wants his Iron Man, but we're already live, so he's just going to have to wait on that. But those two appearances, that just can't happen. And in the SEC, it's only going to get more difficult. You're going to get in tighter spots and more difficult environments against better teams. And so far, it is not. It doesn't look good. And I don't know how much longer you can hold on to having Spencer in this role. Was it McCaslin who pitched on Sunday against Clemson? Is, you know, maybe he gets a look. There's other options in the bullpen that I think at this point you should get a look at in that role, because I know it's only two games. It's early. Things can change. They can improve. But I'm really concerned about what they currently do in the closer spot. So those are two things that have kind of lead you to be a little bit concerned. But pitching otherwise was good. I mean, you had really good outings across the board, absent Spencer. I mean, Canny, what, three complete, just one hit, was great. You had a really nice day out of the bullpen. And again, Udermark being the hero, but not consistent enough at the plate as a team, and also kind of concerned about what they do at the closer spot. To basketball. And again, sorry guys, I'm really struggling, so I'm going to need you guys to carry me here in the comments when I'm done with this. The more I think about what Chris Beard and what the players said also, if you did not watch their post game when he sent all five starters to the podium, they said all the right things. Now, does it mean that they're going to do all the right things? No, we'll just have to wait and see how they perform on Saturday. But they did say all the right things. And I have not seen, as we talked about, Chris Beard that flustered as a coach at Ole Miss without – really knowing what the answers were in that game on Saturday. But can this team bounce back? Certainly. I think that there's a good indication that they will. And for some reason, after going back and listening to the players and Chris Beard talk about things like complacency and stuff like that, I would not at all be surprised if they bounce back and play really well on Saturday. That they get the week off. They clearly, I don't think, you know, dead legs is why they lost to Mississippi State, but that looked like a tired basketball team. And a loss like that can provide a coach like Chris Beard an opportunity to re-engage the interest of his team. I imagine that film session and practices this week have not been pretty in some aspects, but this is like the turning point. I don't know if turning point's the right phrase, but because they're 8-5 in the league, like they're in perfect shape. They're a lock to make the tournament, but how they go on the road Saturday and perform is going to tell you a lot about this team as a whole. It's going to tell you a lot about the attention that Chris Beard has from this team, and it'll tell you a lot about how they're going to play down the stretch and into the tournament. Do they bounce back from an embarrassing loss like that? Do they take the hard coaching? Do they take the sending the starters to the podium well? It's a veteran team. They should handle all that well. Should they take a some internal frustration and turn that into good and kind of galvanize around something like that and play well and continue to win because they're good enough to do so. I mean, when you look at the schedule for Ole Miss, look, they're 8-5 in the league right now. I can certainly look at their remaining schedule and quite easily find three wins without even really stretching. They get one on Saturday. You get a free shot at Auburn. Oklahoma is an absolute disaster at this point, and you get them at home. Tennessee, I think, is a better matchup for Ole Miss than even Mississippi State, who, by the way, beat Texas A&M tonight, so a really good win for the Bulldogs. And then you go to Florida. I mean, they could very easily go 3-2 and finish 11-7 in the league and be a 4 seed. They are absolutely good enough to do that, and I don't think Saturday has really changed my mind on that other than like from a mentality perspective, if that kept them down. I don't know if I'm making sense or not anymore. Point being, listening to them, listening to Chris Beard, listening to his starters, realizing that they have a week off, they get to go on the road, and there's going to be a bunch of Ole Miss fans there on Saturday. It's a Vanderbilt team that they are better than, that they can beat on a good day. The opportunity for them to reset and kind of rally around what happened with the veteran leadership they have on their team, the coaching that they get from Chris Beard, this is an opportunity for them to bounce back and continue to play well, and I think that they're going to do that. Listening to them kind of inspired some confidence from me in their ability to do that. We'll just have to see if they can. So we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Exit 40 in Brookhaven is where they're located, but I know the car buying experience is frustrating for sure for most people, but it's not at Toyota of Brookhaven. So even if you're not in the area, toyotabrookhaven.com is their website. You can check out their inventory there, and it's worth the trip to have a car buying experience that's not going to stress you out. They will treat you like a person. They understand what it's like from your perspective. So make sure that you check them out. If you're in the market for not even just a Toyota, they've got a great selection of new and used vehicles as well at Toyota Brookhaven. But check their online inventory out and see if there's something that you like, because I promise you, even if you're not from the area, it'll be worth the trip. ToyotaBrookhaven.com. They have great service, great savings at Toyota Brookhaven. $1,000 on me. If you're shopping online, use code Rebel Report, or just tell them that I sent you. $1,000 on me on for any new in-stock Toyota. They also have interest rates on a new Tundra as low as 1.99%. So great service department as well, Monday through Friday, 7 to 7. Toyota of Brookhaven, great service, great savings at Toyota of Brookhaven. They deliver. Here we go. Texas A&M just got bulldozed in Starkville in the second half. Saw where there was a court storming at the hump. There was, really good. Those are fun. I think they should happen. I'm a big fan of court stormings. So it's a good win. It's a good win for State. A&M's a tough team. Also, does watching State turn around and beat A&M like that make you feel better, worse, anything in between about what happened Saturday? And guys, I don't know if anything that I've said lately has made sense. I'm so sorry. These have been probably the worst podcasts I've ever done because I can't think straight. It is wild what this virus has done to me. So I hope that I'm making sense, guys. Don't have much on baseball today other than you're questioning the viability of Connor Spencer as a closer. Wins a win in a cold midweek game for sure. Say the last two baseball teams probably lose that game. Last year's does because they did. Read my mind on the post game for basketball Saturday. This talk of complacency, and we thought it would be easy, just baffled Beard. I didn't get it either. Yeah. And to see a coach like that seemingly not have any answers in the moment was pretty telling about that team's performance, and we'll see if they bounce back. First time catching live in a while. I'm wondering if this team can hit. Pitching looks like it could be viable. Yes, I still think that you had I understand why I do, but I think that Federico and Randall, Ryder, Federico and Ryder need to be guys that get in the lineup more often. Part of me wonders if you, at least for now, have less of Furness because he's been off to a tough start, that they have to continue to tinker. You're always tinkering with the lineup, but no, this one has not hit particularly well. But I mean, I think the best overall at bats on the team today was not Luke Hill's best day or anything close to it. But man, Federico's been, he's looked so comfortable for such a young player at the plate. And I just don't know if you keep that guy out of your lineup with the way he looks at the plate right now, especially when you're struggling hitting the way that they are. Basketball's in the middle of their week off, and after that fiasco Saturday, I'm sure Beard is challenging them big time, not just physically, but mentally. They didn't want it as much on Saturday. Yeah, State's already a bad matchup for Ole Miss, but yeah. State has molded back into the team they were when they faced Memphis earlier. They haven't played well since the Kentucky game, though I will say I count any SEC win as an automatically good thing. But no, they can be significantly better than they showed. Yeah, and they talked about that really after the game on Saturday, that they haven't played well since the first half against Kentucky. I think it was Murray that said that. But yeah, I have a hard time saying, like, in Columbia, they quote-unquote didn't play well, considering how tough it was for Auburn and Florida there. But I'm with you. I understand what you're saying, and I do agree that they could have played better in both Baton Rouge, kind of got lucky there, and in Columbia. No, I did not see the that flip. No, I did not. Having one true big man, and when he gets flustered and Davis doesn't play great, we're just finished. Brown Jones ain't it. Which is interesting because he was productive at his previous stop, and he looks offensively incompetent at times. But yeah, that's this team is a consistent Malik Dia away from really taking another step forward, and that's got to be the most frustrating thing for Chris Beard right now, is why he can't get consistent effort and physicality and like focus out of Malik Dia. That's got to just keep him up at night. It's, you have this guy, it's such a smart, like, really smart player, like, off the court, like a really smart guy, it seems. And he's so skilled and he's so athletic for his size, and yet can so easily get played off the floor. And I don't understand how you can let that happen, because Mississippi State and a lot of others, South Carolina, LSU, all it takes is for him to just to unlock whatever it takes to get him to go on those 5-minute runs of brilliance, or whatever it was in Tuscaloosa that allowed him to be so dominant. But man, the fadeaways, the obsession with playing finesse as opposed to going on the block and just being tougher than your opponent, is that's the one thing that's preventing him from being a pro, a real pro, not like a Europe pro, is that. I think we'll see a much more inspired effort on Saturday in Nashville. Not that it results in a win, but a big opportunity still there. Absolutely. I mean, Vanderbilt's beaten Kentucky and Tennessee on that floor, but it's certainly a beatable basketball team. I don't think that they'll be able to, like, overwhelm Ole Miss with their physicality the way others have. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, what? They've also lost 4 or 5 that only won coming over Texas. So, not an easy place to play. Weird arena, all that stuff. But, yeah. Blew an opportunity Saturday in a rivalry game in front of a great crowd, but I might be alone on this. Basketball goes so fast, I try to count most of these games as even, especially in the SEC. Yeah. Anyone heard how Elko is doing in the minors? Here, I'll tell you. They obviously haven't started minor league baseball yet because, of course, they haven't started spring training yet. But let's see. How did he end last year? He should have gotten called up to the majors at the end of the year, right? And that didn't happen for whatever reason. So last year hit 289 with 18 home runs and 73 RBIs. It's an outstanding first year for Tim Elko. So we'll see. Sure, you don't want to lose both times at state. 1-1 is fine, but no one should let that cloud anything about the season. Most of what I value in basketball is that SEC win number and the postseason. That is all that matters. And that's something that we've talked about a little bit on the radio show is Ole Miss fans were upset with the loss, and they should have been. They filled up the arena, and they got a poor performance. Like, that should upset you. Mississippi State beats you twice. That should upset you. But if you remove the it's Mississippi State out of it, you got beat by a really good team at home. It happens in basketball. You have beaten a really good team on the road, right? You've beaten a really good team at home. I mean, Kentucky's right now a 3 seed, and you beat the absolute you-know-what out of them on that exact same floor. So they're in great shape still. That loss knocked them down a seed line is all it did. So when you remove the rivalry emotion out of it, you know, you never like losing, but it's certainly an acceptable loss. A good team. You lost to a good team. Take the week off, rest, reset, refocus, beat Vanderbilt, and you're in great shape. Even if you don't beat Vanderbilt, you're still in great shape, but still. James is the most likable state coach in a while. To be honest with you, I really like Chris Lemonis. I really like Chris Lemonis a lot, but James is really good. State is an outright bad matchup for Ole Miss. Maybe that's a sign for Beard's teams to adjust to that in the future. That is something that if you want to question Chris Beard, it's roster construction, right? It's size. Ole Miss is too small. And I'm certain that they tried to be bigger, but they are too small. And especially when your bigs get played off, the bigs that you do have get played off the floor. And even further, it looks like you're even smaller than you actually are. It's just the two guys that you brought in at times can be unplayable. If you want to question Chris Beard, that's what you question is roster construction at the moment. But also, this roster as constructed is ranked. They're top 30 in the net, and they're 8-5 in the most difficult that the SEC has ever been. So even despite their flaws, this is still a very good basketball team. They have a fatal flaw. Did Florida beat Oklahoma by 100? Score looked rough at the half. I did not check that final, to be totally honest with you, so I'll go ahead and do that right now. Let's see. No, they only won by 22. They tied in the second half. So, hey, Oklahoma played better or whatever. Federico only struck out 4 times his senior year at Monroe. Yeah, that guy is – his approach looks years ahead of his age. Obviously, his dad being who he is helps some, but still. Oklahoma's given up and quit. Count that as a win for Ole Miss on March 1st. It freaking better be. I mean, they'll be looking for a new coach here soon. Let's see. They have lost, 5 in a row and 6 of 7. So, yeah, they're done. They are done. Vandy's court is so funky, always looks odd on TV. Yeah, and sitting in the stands is also weird. I mean, you can sit at points in the arena where the upper deck comes so far down that you can only see like the opposite line on the court, and that's it. Like, you cannot see a single fan across the court. Like, it comes down so far in front of your face that all you can see is the other sideline, and that's it. I think it's a cool place, but weird, funky is right. When Padula drives to the rim, no one tries to get open, and he throws it up in the trees a lot the last three games. There are times where their off-ball movement is really bad to non-existent. What happened to the baseball team today? They won, which is the most important thing. They were winning 2-0 in the ninth, and Spencer, there was an error, and then he put a couple guys on, and then fielder's choice sack fly ties the game. And cold and windy and, you know, the weirdness of a midweek, but I do think that there's some concerns. But they also are 3-1 with two ranked wins. So there's also a lot of things to be satisfied with as well with this team. Just wait and see. Still in wait and see mode. I know people hate wait and see mode, but that's what it is right now. You'll settle at 10 wins for now, Oklahoma and splitting Vandy and Tennessee, but you have some hesitancy there too because of their issue of a physical mismatch with Tennessee. But Tennessee's awful on the road, and they shoot a lot of threes or have a tendency to do so. Rebounding was the killer in the state game. Players not finding a body to block out. Very frustrating to keep seeing it happen. And also carelessness with the basketball. Both in shot selection and then with the turnovers. Saw we could get snow tonight. Not here. Right? Or are you in my area? Because it's not supposed to snow down here. Let me check Oxford if that's where you are. Yeah. Looks like it could snow in Oxford. Why not? Just one more for fun. What? One more day where it doesn't snow here. He won't get to play in snow, but all of you guys get to. I'm going to keep saying it. Ole Miss's defense has now run into a major problem. They've gotten much more handsy in committing fouls without forcing turnovers like they used to. It seems like it's a lot less active as well. They're not disrupting passing lanes the way that they used to. They're not as engaged the right way to couch that. I don't know. Elko going to make the big roster? Looks like there's a real chance he can. He will say the Pavilion was much more aggressive to Auburn than Mississippi State. That's probably due to Auburn being number one and how they carry themselves. Basically, what you're saying is Mississippi State is not a team of a-holes. Auburn certainly is. 25-year-old, you know what? The defense they run with all the switches is hard to have that small point guard have to have two in the lineup. Or we have two in the lineup. Yeah, and what I can't figure out, and I'm not smart enough to figure out, Brad, is how it is so easy for teams to get the switch where it's Padula or Murray on a five. And how they haven't adjusted to avoid that happening as much as teams are able to make that happen. And maybe just because they switch on everything, it's just something that you have to deal with. It's just the downside. It's the hole in the zone, if you will. But that does happen too much, where teams are able to just get the one of those two guards, one of the small guards on a five, and there's just really nothing that they can do in that spot. And it also creates a disadvantage when they're trying to rebound as well. So maybe there's an adjustment that they can make. I'm not smart enough to know what that is, but that is something that happens too much to them. Will play well at Vandy because Beard doesn't coach as much from the sideline as most other coaches. Him being on the baseline should be okay. Nevertheless, let's not forget Vandy blew a 16-point lead in Knoxville on Saturday. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And I do expect a lot of you guys there on Saturday. What time is that game, by the way? What time is that game on Saturday? We've got our second soccer game of the year on Saturday. Let's see. 2:30. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Do I think Ole Miss is better defensively than last year, the baseball team? I do at the moment. I do. I think that there's certainly some improvement there. They were at the bottom of the SEC in everything last year, and they don't look like a bottom of the SEC defensive team at the moment. I mean, how many errors do they have as a team? Let's see. I don't think any, do they? Maybe I'm misremembering. Let's see. Because last year, basically from the jump, they were just booting the ball around the field. Let's see. Pano has one. Nichols has one. So they have two errors on the season, one of which is a pitcher. Pano's a true freshman. That they are better defensively. Smithwick receiving the ball much better behind the plate as well. Curious to see if Walker Hooks could become a future closer for Ole Miss. He looks live out of the pen. That stuff looked electric in that blowout on Saturday. North Mississippi can have the snow. At least we got a top golf here. Hey, I haven't been yet. It just hasn't worked out. I haven't been able to go yet. But that's something that we'll do. We'll do that soon. Joe Judge will help coach the quarterbacks, and Chris Kiffin will help join her with the D-line for next season. Yeah, Joe Judge was already – I mean, both of them were already doing that anyway, right? Are those new – I don't think those are new assignments. But it's good to have those two guys on staff, no doubt. I have no idea about this non-conference powder puff slate the next few weeks for baseball. Really looking forward to seeing a real test versus Arkansas. Yeah, I mean, so the test for Ole Miss now is going to be not losing games, multiple games that they shouldn't. Again, it's baseball. You are going to lose some of these games to lesser opponents sometimes. It does happen, and it will happen to Ole Miss, and it'll happen to some of these great teams, but yeah, in terms of like the talent test, I mean, they got Southern Miss coming up. Southern Miss is a good team. I know it's a midweek game, so the context is needed with a midweek game. But Southern Miss will test them. That's a good Southern Miss team that very well could and should win the Sun Belt. But other than that, nothing until the Arkansas series from a talent perspective outside of Southern Miss. Rick Pitino to Oklahoma would be insanely funny. I think he would say no if they tried. Switching Solve have bigger guards. That certainly would help. But, you can't get those right now, so there's got to be something that they can do to avoid that happening as much as it happens. Or maybe there's not. But that is a big, big problem for them, is it's way too easy to get – especially in the SEC when you have so many fives that are so skilled on Murray, God bless him. There's just nothing he can do in those spots, and he's constantly in those spots. By the way, the home series are brutal. Arkansas, Florida, Tennessee, Vandy, and Auburn. Swayze doesn't deserve to be empty in May like it's been recently. That's life in the SEC, though. You've seen some people talk about 12 SEC wins being the number to make the postseason, especially if they take care of business in the non-conference. Jason Day's golf attire is only acceptable for 10 degrees or lower. He might as well wear a Snuggie. I think the sweatpants, the sweat suit should be banned from the course. I cannot believe that the tour allows it. I mean, he looks like a clown, but that's my old man yells at cloud opinion on that. Ole Miss will make the Sweet 16 if they get the right matchup. It will their tournament live will be exclusively about matchups, which it's almost like that for every team, but Ole Miss is going to be especially dependent on matchups. Southern Miss did beat Mississippi State 3-0 tonight. I'm telling you, it's a good team. Southern Miss is good. That will be that will be a nice test next week. Southern Miss, they're just simply good, man. They're talented. They're well coached. So besides that game, Ole Miss won't have the talent test in the same way that they did this past weekend. But anyway, I've got to run, guys. I'm still recovering and not anywhere close to being myself. And so I need to go to bed. But I appreciate you guys. We'll be back on Thursday. And looking forward to talking to you then. You guys have a good night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.